Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We do give you a very warm welcome, and we trust the Lord will bless you as you join with us around God's Word today. We're going to have a word of prayer, so let's come before the throne of grace together. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that every good gift cometh from above. And Father, we thank Thee for the greatest gift of all. We do thank Thee for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And O God, we do pray that even in this short time around Thy Word, that Thou bless us and that Thou help this preacher to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that men and women, boys and girls will learn that they need Him. They need to turn from their sin, repent and believe the gospel. But, O Father, as we come about Thy Word, we pray that Thou bless us abundantly, and it may be very clear indeed that each heart has received a word in season today. We ask these things in the Saviour's worthy and most precious name. Amen. Now we're turning in God's Word together, please, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we're going to read from the verse 10 through to the end of the verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Word of God states, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his holy and precious word to each of our hearts. Now we're going to sing together a beautiful hymn, Sound the Gospel of Grace Abroad. There's life in the risen Lord. Spread the news of the gift of God. There's life in the risen Lord. Now, after reading Romans chapter 3, I'd like you to come with me to Romans chapter 6, and our text is found in Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23. And here the word of God states, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Very simply, I want to ask a question that I believe halfway through this sermon you will be asking. And the question is very simply this: what's the good news? What's the good news? For our text states, "For the wages of sin is death." But then we find the good news. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Oftentimes you may have been asked, do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? And if you're anything like me, then you'll say, give me the bad news first, and I'll try and deal with that and deal with that issue and deal with that problem And then I'll take the good news in the hope that it will be a positive thing, cheer me up, and go some way in order to heal the hurt from the bad news. So when we ask the question, do you want the good news or the bad news? I often ask, well, give me the bad news first. And that's exactly what our text does. I want you to note three very simple things from our text today. And we find the bad news, then we find, secondly, the good news, and then thirdly, I want to review your reaction to the news. So firstly, the bad news. What is the bad news? Well, our text reads, as we've looked at already, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, my friend, be in no doubt whatsoever, this is bad news. There is nothing good in that line. There is nothing worthy of celebration or positivity. "For the wages of sin is death." That is well and truly bad news, if ever there was any. That is bad news because it reveals to us our sin. It reveals to us the problem of our sin. Now, we deliberately read from Romans chapter 3, and if you turn back the page and look at Romans chapter 3, we find in the verse 10 through to the verse 23 especially, probably one of the most famous passages in the Word of God at exposing our sin. In verse 10 of Romans 3, it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Nobody, this preacher included, is righteous in and of ourselves, no, not one. Verse 11 says, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." There's nobody that in and of themselves pursues God or has any intention of following after God. It says in the verse 12, further bad news, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And we find where all of this comes from. It states in chapter 3, verse 18, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now, you see, we have forgotten who the Lord is. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had forgotten who God was. That's why they rebelled against Him. That's why they didn't see fit to obey His very simple command not to eat of the forbidden fruit. You see, so often, not only with Adam and Eve, but in our day and generation, there's no fear of God anymore. And we most truly are sinners. And it sums it up in the verse 23 of Romans 3, saying, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So God has set a standard for us, and we have come short of it. God has set a level that He wants us to attain, but we fall short of the glory of God because all have sinned. And you say, well, is it that serious, preacher? Okay, I've done things that are wrong in my life, but is it really that serious? Yes, it is. Your sin is very serious in the sight of a holy God. It says in the verse 19 of Romans 3, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith." So there we find the law. You remember the law? Exodus 20. You remember, "Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but a few." You remember what the law has to say? Well, we've broken that law, and it says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." So the law is written for you and I. And what does it say? "That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." That is our problem, friend. We have sinned against God, we have broken God's law, and we are deserving of punishment. That is the bad news. And that's what our text says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death." Now, we read of our sin in the verse, and it says, very simply, the wages of sin, the payment of sin, the reward for sin. What you get in return for sin. "For the wages of sin is death." Oh, my friend, that's serious. I cannot stress to you how serious this gloomy situation really is. Because that's not just talking about physical death. That's talking about spiritual death. In hell forevermore. And you only have to read in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man in hell, and he lifted up his eyes being in torments, and there wasn't even a drop of water for the tip of his tongue. Friend, our verse is serious. Your sin is serious. For the wages of sin is death. So you say, preacher, well, you've given me the bad news. You've told me my condition. You've told me that I'm a sinner. You've told me that the wages of sin is death in hell. Well, that's the bad news. Preacher, what's the good news? Maybe you're asking that today. What's the good news? Maybe you accept that and you say, preacher, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. I know I deserve hell. And listen, this preacher deserves hell as much as any other man, woman, or child. I deserve it too, for I'm a sinner too. And you say, what is the good news? Well, the good news is found in our text. Because the verse reads on, for the wages of sin is death. Praise God, it's not a full stop there. But the verse goes on and it says, but. That word but tells us there's hope now. Oh, there's something more coming. There's something that is different from the bad news initially. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, friend, this is the good news. Beloved, listen to it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we look there and we read the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, we find that the gift is Christ. The scriptures remind us that every good gift cometh from above. And I want to tell you today that the greatest gift you could ever receive is Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, friend. And Jesus Christ left heaven's glory and he came down to this wicked world of ours. And do you know what he did? He did something that you or I could never do. He lived a perfect life. He lived an absolutely perfect, righteous, sinless, impeccable life. Do you know why he did that? He lived it for you and he lived that life for me. You see, you and I sin all of the time. We sin today, we've sinned this week, we've sinned this month, we've sinned this year, and we've sinned in our lifetime. And if we were to add up all of our sin, we couldn't count up the number. But Jesus Christ, in his 33 and a half years on this earth, he didn't sin once. He didn't sin in thought, in word, or in deed. He was perfect. Not only that, my friend, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, he not only lived for us, but he died for us. He died for us. He went to Calvary for us. Oh, my friend, he took in his hands the nails. He took upon his back the scourging. He took upon his brow the crown of thorns. And friend, as he hung there upon Calvary's tree, and as the gravity would have been trying to pull him down, yet the nails kept him up. I want to tell you this, it was my sin and it was your sin that kept him on that tree. Jesus Christ, he hung there and he bled and he died for us. And more so than all of the physical agonies, but Jesus Christ bore the wrath of the Father for us. You see, the Bible tells us that he bore our sin, that huge load, our sin, upon his own body on the tree. And you see, God the Father, he poured out all of his wrath for all of his people's sin upon Christ. And he quite literally crushed the soul of Christ into the dust. And Christ, as the Father turned his face away, cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he did it for you. And he did it for me. Because as our verse says, for the wages of sin is death. Yes, there's bad news, but the good news is Christ died for the ungodly. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you see what it says there about eternal life? That's wonderful. Because that tells us through Jesus Christ, because of what Christ did, because Christ died for us, that you can go to heaven one day if you repent and believe the gospel. And that truly is good news. That's something to rejoice about. That's something to smile about and quite literally leap for joy over the fact that Christ died for us. So we see from our verse the bad news. For the wages of sin is death. We ask the question then, what's the good news? What is the good news? Well, the good news is this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But then thirdly, I want to ask you, my friend, with all sincerity of heart and the best that a preacher can plead with your soul, I want you to note your reaction to the news. So we've seen the bad news and the good news. But what's your reaction to it? I ask you, my friend, the question that is contained in Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 42, where the scriptures say, what think ye of Christ? When you consider that Christ has lived a perfect life, when you think he's lived a sinless life, when you think he's lived a righteous life, and he lived it for you and for me, when you think that Christ died a bloody and a cruel death upon the tree, and he died for you and he died for me, I ask you, friend, what think ye of Christ? What do you think about the gift of God? You see, all you've got to do is accept a gift. You think about your birthday, or you think about Christmas, and you're given a gift. You don't have to pay for a gift. You don't have to earn a gift. You're given a gift because somebody loves you. Well, the same applies here. It is the gift of God. And I ask you, will you take it? After you've heard of your situation, that you most certainly need this gift of Jesus Christ, I ask you, will you take the gift? You know, the sad thing is this, that a lot of people, after hearing that Christ died for them, they hear that there is a Savior for sinners, and they hear that there is hope, and they can get to heaven when they die. They hear all that you are hearing today, and you know what they do? They leave it to another day. They say, well, preacher, I acknowledge a lot of what you say. I understand a lot of what you're saying, but it's not just for me just yet. Maybe I'll wait till my deathbed. Maybe I'll wait till another day. Maybe I'll wait just until I come to the verge of death. My friend, you don't have a clue when that day is coming. The scriptures tell us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You've got to get right with God now. Maybe you're saying, well, preacher, okay, fair enough. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I've done wrong before the Lord. I acknowledge I've broken His law, and I acknowledge I deserve hell. And I'm glad you've told me the good news today. I'm glad you've told me that Jesus came. I'm glad you've told me that I can be saved. But maybe you're asking today, how can I be saved? How can I become a Christian? How can I know 100% for certain that I'm right with God? Well, you're not the first to ask that question. We read in the book of Acts of a man called the Philippian jailer. And he asked the preachers, what must I do to be saved? How can I be saved? How can I get right with God? And the answer that was given then is the answer I give to you today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is so simple. It's not about going to church. It's not about good works. It's not about doing this thing or that thing or the other thing or turning over a new leaf. The scriptures tell us very specifically in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see the word gift again. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, God knows your heart, and He knows my heart, and He knows if we earned our salvation, then we would forget Him. You see, friend, all you've got to do is come as you are. Repent ye and believe the gospel. All you've got to do is what the scriptures say. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. You know, friend, there's an urgency to this message. It's no good saying, preacher, I accept it. It's no good saying, preacher, I know there's bad news and good news, but a later time. The scriptures say it is time. It is time to seek the Lord. So don't waste time. Now that you've heard the word, do something about it. Wherever you're listening to this message from, right now, you ask the Lord to save you. Right now, you come to him in prayer and you say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And you know what? He'll take you. He'll save you. I want to tell you this, my friend. There's not one soul in hell today that came to Jesus and he rejected them. You know, Jesus accepts all. It doesn't matter your condition. You could be rich. You could be poor. You could have nothing. You could have everything. You may be bad. You may be good. It doesn't matter, friend. Come to Christ just as you are. And the scriptures say, sure, the Lord Jesus says, I will in no wise cast out. So I plead with you, my friend, prepare to meet thy God. We have bad news. It's bad news you need to face up to. I did a number of years ago when I was saved. The bad news is this, for the wages of sin is death. But praise God when we ask, what's the good news? What's the good news, preacher? The good news is this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, friend, come to him today. I pray that right now you'll trust him. You'll repent and believe the gospel. Don't leave it to another time. Don't leave it to another day. But you'll come just as you are, knowing that you need the Savior. Let's bow together in a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we still ourselves before thy throne. And Lord, we thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee that even though there is such bad news when we review our sin and review the law of God, we thank thee that there's good news, that a Savior came, that a Savior died, and a Savior is willing to take any that will come unto him. O God, we do pray that this word may strike some heart, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless thy word. We pray that it will not return unto thee void. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.